Well, good morning again. I want to welcome you to week two of our current series called It's Time to Grow Up, which is a series where we are working our way through the book of Ephesians, a book where Paul spends the smart, but it's what smart people call theology. The theology of things when it comes to Christianity. That's what the first few chapters of this book, this great book of Ephesians, is all about. And so last week, in week one of the series, which I heard was great, I wasn't here, but if the community groups and the small groups that I'm a part of are any indication of anything, it was a wonderful week. It was a wonderful kickoff to this series. So with that, I just want to thank everyone quickly who filled in for me and who serves here every week, week in and week out. Let's give them a hand real quick. But with that said, last week, if you were here, we were presented, which I hope was pleasing and encouraging with you, we were presented with gift after gift that we, okay, and when I say we, I mean those of us in Christ, gift after gift that we have been given access to, many of which, mind you, we do not live fully under the power or the privilege of, or even properly in response to these things, these gifts from God in Christ, things like redemption, okay? He has bought us back. Do you get that? He has bought us back from slavery, out of slavery to sin. We have to receive that and keep receiving that and live in the joy and the gratitude of it. And another gift he has given us of is his own Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that what, church? Shout it out. Raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. That raised Christ from the dead. That was in Ephesians chapter 1. That's a pretty crazy power, right? Which we have access to. And we have access to the Holy Spirit's power to even participate with other gifts that he gives us. Gifts like growth. Growth in holiness, a.k.a. becoming more like Christ, a.k.a. growing up, in other words, growing up in our faith. Well, with that said, today we are going to continue in this theology section of the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. You can get there now in your Bible if you want to do that. I would encourage you getting there in your Bible. And then in the coming weeks of the series, we're going to move more into, I guess, some specific application. But today, just like we did last Sunday, we are going to gain so much, okay? So much from looking at our theology. And it is from that basis, church, a basis of solid and well-understood theology, a basis of solid and well-understood grasp of what God has done for all of us and what he is doing for all of us. It is from that place, church, that we can then live the life that he calls us to live. And with that, the theology that we look at today, it has to do with our cravings. Our cravings. Today we're going to talk about what our cravings have to do with you and I, with us growing up spiritually. Now also today, as you've probably guessed, based on what's up here next to me on stage, we are going to baptize two people today. Praise God, two people. Two people who are committing to more fully follow Jesus Christ. And by doing so, that's going to be a demonstration of the gospel itself. And just so you know, across all of our campuses, 14 people are being baptized today. Which again, yeah. That means for all intents and purposes, we get to see together, we get to witness together the scripture illustrated right before our very eyes. Death to life. It's powerful stuff, church. And so with all that said, I just want to pray again right now before we go any further. Let's join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you for this day. We thank you for what you have done for us. Redemption, the Holy Spirit, Lord, gift after gift that you've given us. So, Lord, would you help us to just see what you would want us to see this morning? Would you speak to us, Lord? We are here. We are open. We are willing to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now let's just talk for a quick second about this place, okay? This place to which Paul is writing. And it is the church at Ephesus. The church in the city of Ephesus. And you see, the city of Ephesus, it was a city full of people who tried very hard, okay, to fulfill every craving. And some of the cravings they had were things like wealth. They craved wealth. In fact, many lives and much of their lives were centered around the pagan temple of Diana, which actually created a lot of commerce for those selling idols for her worship. They, in fact, craved wealth so much, church, that the threat that Christianity was posing to the makers and to the sellers of these idols, it almost cost Paul his very life, our author of this book. Check it out later in Acts chapter 19. His threat to their wealth almost cost him his life. Now, besides craving wealth, these people of Ephesians, of Ephesus, they also placed a high emphasis and they craved physical satisfaction. In fact, houses of prostitution, you heard me right, houses of prostitution were a central aspect of this city's life. Even, get this, even playing into their religious rituals. This was a messed up place, okay? And in so many ways, think about it with me, in so many ways, when it comes to how we today try and physically satisfy ourselves, we live in a pretty messed up place too. We live in a pretty messed up time. Now they also, and this resonates with us today, I believe, they crave technology. Does our culture crave technology today? You better believe we do, right? Now, for the Ephesians, that meant that some houses were even found to have running water and heated bathrooms way back in that time. And these people of Ephesus, they also craved beauty. For example, some of their homes had mosaic floors and marble walls. Cravings of the flesh. Cravings of worshiping what? The created versus the creator. Cravings that led to an out-of-balance investment in the things of this world versus that which is what? Eternal. I think we can resonate with that as we look at, as we consider our own world and where we live today. So in summary, what we need to know about Ephesus is that it was a wealthy city with many misguided cravings. A place, mind you, much like any place in the good old US of A, as compared to almost anywhere else in the world. So it is into that setting that Paul writes this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. As for you, you were dead in your sins and transgressions, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. And doing what, church? Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. And therefore, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now, I hope you notice the past tense of this passage, right? And remember, Paul is writing to who? He's writing to the church at Ephesus, the proclaimed believers in Christ in the city of Ephesus. And he says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins when you followed the ways of this world. In other words, when you had cravings like they, the world, did, and you filled them how they did, well, at that time, he says, you were deserving of the wrath of God. You know, over the last number of years, shows and movies about zombies have been really popularized, right? And as I read this scripture, these images come to mind. Well, there are many people, sadly, in our world who are dead. Dead, living lives of sin and dead in their transgressions. They are not fully alive. Physically alive, yes, but perhaps anemically, based on the consequences, right, and the effects of their sins. Those things can have effect on our health and the guilt and the burden that we carry and maybe even the shame that we carry and juggling the mess, right? Have you ever been there juggling the mess? It's exhausting. It's draining. And I say that saying this, maybe that's how you feel today. It's okay. Maybe that's how you feel today. It's okay. It's good you're here. Maybe you feel exhausted by the consequences of your personal sin. I've been there, church. God's advice, stop the bleeding. Stop the bleeding today. Surrender today. Hand over the steering wheel to Him today. Start walking. Start walking as He has called us to walk today. Let Him walk with you today. And not just walk with you, but lead you today. Maybe that's what you needed to hear today. Maybe that's what you're here to respond to today. Because bottom line, okay? Bottom line, apart from Christ, apart from Him, we are dead in our sin. But let's go back a second again, okay? Paul is talking to who again? The church, isn't he? He's talking to the church, and JP said it last week. This letter is a letter of encouragement. It's a letter of encouragement to the church. So Paul says, he reminds us, in other words, you used to walk that way in the ways of the world, having their craving and fulfilling them in their ways, but you aren't to walk that way anymore. Maybe, okay, maybe, just maybe. Maybe you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but you've never gotten up from the cross. Maybe, just maybe you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but you've never moved past the cross. And when I say that, I mean moved past that to what He has next for you. For Him, you know what? For Him to be the Lord of your life. Or maybe there's some area that you've let Him be the Lord of your life, but there's other areas, other cravings, where it's like, I ain't surrendering that. And in that, do you know what? The truth is, you're still like the world. I'm still like the world in that. My point, okay? You may not quite be a zombie. I may not quite be a zombie. Some of us maybe, though, maybe we're just still an infant in our faith. Or maybe we're still a toddler. Or maybe we're just a young adult in our faith with some room to grow up. Though we've carried around the saved banner for a long time, for much longer than that. Maybe we're older in our faith years than we are in our maturity years, in other words. And here's the beauty in this, okay? Please hear me now, okay? Because I know this is a hard teaching. Hard teaching for me, it's a hard teaching for you. This topic is challenging, okay? But here's the beauty. The beauty is, one, God is not looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfection. Not possible, okay? He's looking for growth. He's looking for humility in us. Humility that we just haven't arrived yet. Which leads to the beauty, number two. None of us has arrived yet. None of us has arrived to some point of perfection, and we never will this side of heaven. So when I say you in the above, you know, you, like, you may be an infant or you may be a toddler or a young adult, even though maybe you've been walking with God much longer than that, I am talking to me too, church. I'm talking to all of us in this place, every believer. And the beauty in that is we are in this thing together, church. And we are the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. So let's embrace where he is taking us, and let's all grow up. Whatever our next step is in that, let's do it. Otherwise, you know what? You won't ever fully realize the level. We will never fully realize the power of the gift that you have been given in him and I have been given in him. And in that, be dead, spiritually dead, which means what? What does spiritually dead mean? Well, I don't think I can fully encapsulate what spiritually dead means because I don't fully understand it. But here's what I know, okay? Here's what I know because it's my story, okay? Your spirit, your being craves things. And so part of what Paul is talking about here is that when we go to anything other than the source of life itself, Jesus Christ, God in Christ, to fulfill those cravings, or if we, in other words, surrender to our fleshly desires or wealth or whatever that may be for you, it actually brings some death. It actually brings some death to our spirit. Meaning what? Meaning we never truly live. We never live the life that God intends for us. And we've all been there. And truth be told, our deepest craving, do you know what your deepest craving is? It's love. Your and my deepest craving is love. It is belonging. It is being in close relationship. And the closest relationship we really desire and that we really need is the one with our God through Jesus the Christ. And he openly offers it. We just have to take the step. The step toward him and ever increasing steps toward him. It's kind of like when my body craves food, which is often, you could ask my bride in the booth, but it's kind of like when I'm in those spots and I'm tempted, and I often succumb to the temptation, just being real, to grab something really quick and maybe something sugary. Anybody else like that? And I get this like quick sugar high, which makes me feel amazing at first, but in the end, the high what? It wears off, and I actually feel worse than I did before. You know what I mean. You've probably been there. You see, kids, think about kids for a second. Kids, and even maybe me, because I'm still kind of a kid, but we often want to eat nothing, right, other than maybe cookies and donuts and candy bars, right? A lot of times kids are like that, and some of us as adults, but when we grow up, we realize that feeding ourselves well and not giving into or satisfying our cravings in shortcut and instant gratification ways, that is better for us. It's better for us. It brings life. Proverbs 14:12 says it this way. There is a way, okay? There is a way. In other words, a shortcut, a good feeling temptation to fill a craving. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it what? It leads to death. The cravings we have and how we fill them are to change. The cravings we have and how we are to fill them are to change as we grow up in the Lord, church. Part of growing up in the Lord is asking him to and letting him change our cravings and how we fulfill them. That is a huge part, church, of how we respond to all that God has done for us. The way of growing up includes giving up our childish ways, giving up our unhealthy and even sometimes evil cravings. And speaking of all that God has done, let's read a little more theology. Chapter 2 again of Ephesians, verse 4, says this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, what did he do, church? He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For, let him say it again, Paul says it again, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So all that talk about us being a zombie or being an infant maybe in our faith or more immature than our years, it is not at the end of the day. Do you know what? It is not more powerful than God's love for you. That's what this verse is saying. It said even when we were dead, or maybe for you today, even when you are dead in your transgressions, Christ makes us alive. We are made alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. That is God's offer to you today, to make you alive and to give you even more life. It is not about our sin. That's not what trumps everything. It is His forgiveness. His forgiveness always has the last word. His forgiveness always has the last move. But you need to receive that, and I need to receive that. We need to receive Him today. And day by day, as we grow and as we mature. Paul wrote it this way also in Romans 5:8. He wrote, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. By grace, church. By grace, we have been saved through faith. There is nothing we can do to deserve it. There is nothing we can do to earn it. And you know what? We live in such a performance-based society and culture that this is hard to grasp. But God made and God makes us alive in Christ. He is the one actively doing the saving. Surrendering our cravings to Him and His work and for His purposes is our proper response to all of that. That's what it is. Which we will wrap up with in a few, but right now, I'm so excited. I want to invite those who will be baptized this morning, all their helpers, I want to invite them forward. As I mentioned earlier, you guys can come right up on stage. We're going to baptize two people today, church, where we get to see, again, the scripture illustrated, death to life. We get to see that with our own eyes this morning. So come on up, everybody. All right, everybody say, these are our two baptismal celebrities this morning. Summer and her daughter, Hannah. So I'm going to just ask them a couple questions, and then Shannon is going to read Summer's testimony, and we will baptize Summer. And then Matt's going to read Hannah's testimony, and he's going to help me baptize Hannah. So Summer and Hannah, do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ, the Son, suffered in your place on the cross, and that He died, but that He rose again, and that He now sits at the Father's right hand until He returns to judge all people on the last day? If you believe that, would you say, I do? Summer and Hannah, do you intend by this act of baptism to testify to the world that you are a Christian and that you will be a loyal follower of Christ? If you agree with that, please say, I do. All right, awesome. So, Shannon, you could use this mic right here. She is going to, JP, yeah. You can go on that side right there. Don't fall down the stairs. Don't get in yet.
Hi, I'm Shannon, and I'm a good friend of Summer's. Here is Summer's faith story. Church and God have been a part of my life for as far back as I can remember. Church was a fundamental part of my parents' lives and culture, so it became mine as well. I would go to church every Sunday and Wednesday with my parents, who served as youth pastors and lead pastors in the Church of God. Growing up, I participated in youth group, dramas, youth conventions, teen talents, youth camps, and more. I loved all of it. Throughout my life, I was hit with some very hard trials. Of all of them, my mom's untimely death in 2010 really rocked me. I became angry with God and walked away from my faith. Following that, I went through the hardship of infertility treatments, a broken marriage and divorce, health scares, feelings of not being good enough, and more. I realized that my only hope is through Jesus. I have decided to rededicate my life to Jesus by getting baptized. I want to not only honor the legacy my mother and father have given me, but I want to thank them for being so diligent in introducing me to God, who is so wonderful and kind. I want to do that for my children as well. I want them to know who God is and how great He is. At one point in my life, I was so angry at God and felt so scared, and although those thoughts still may come, now I have the reassuring presence, peace, and love of God to get me through any and every battle.
Amen. Step in the tub. You can just get up here and sit down. Let's pinch your nose. Summer, is it your desire today to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, testifying that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? It is our pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Woo! All right, Matt, would you do us the honor of reading Hannah's testimony? I got to get my towel, too.
Hi, my name is Matt. I am Hannah's mother's boyfriend. This is Hannah's faith story. Hannah was dedicated as a baby in church and has always enjoyed going to church with her family and listening to, as we call it, Jesus music. Hannah's mommy has taught her who Jesus is, and Hannah believes in him and accepts Jesus into her heart and was very excited when she learned what baptism is.
Amen. All right, and go. All right, do you need some help? Need some steps to this. All right, Hannah, just plug your nose if you would. Is it your desire to be baptized today in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to show the world that you're a believer in Jesus? Amen. Hannah, it is our blessing to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Woo! All right. All right, everybody stay here real quick because this church wants to pray for you guys. And as I pray, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to worship through music anyway. So if you can stand, would you stand and maybe as an expression of just extending your prayers to Summer and Hannah, just put your hand out. That would be beautiful. Heavenly Father, you are so good, Lord. We celebrate with Summer and Hannah today, this step in their faith journey. As we talk about growing up, Lord, your word is clear to testify through baptism, which is a picture of death to life. You call us to take that step, to testify to the world that we are believers in Christ and to our church family. So Lord, with them taking this step, I just pray blessings over Summer. I pray blessings over Hannah in their future and what you have for them. Lord, the power of their testimony today, it's still not finished. You have more for them today. You have more for them tomorrow. So Lord, would you be with them? Would you guide them? Would they be with you? As we talked about today, would they continue to just listen for your voice and surrender to your voice because your ways are good. They are the best. So Lord, fill these two day by day, moment by moment with your Holy Spirit. Bless them, keep them, and help them continue to be a witness to you. We pray this all together as a church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.